mostly he's knowledgeable about quarterbacks. This is, of course, he's been on the show with us before, but let me give him a proper introduction. Spent several years in the football industry coaching, mostly coaching individualized quarterbacks, and had a little bit of a, he needed to take some time off, which he did, but now he's back. He's not coaching, but he does do evaluation from his home, and I met him at a camp in California. He's fantastic, and we're really lucky to get him on the program with us today. Found a home here in Utah. That is the one and the only Jimmy Mitchell. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, John. It's good to be with you guys.
Well, we wanted to get your thoughts as football season fast approaching. Of course, Utah opens up camp tomorrow. Utah embroiled in a bit of a quarterback controversy, and I think down south there's a bit of a controversy. I know you've been following those two programs quite a bit, and we'd like to get your thoughts on both of them. Let's start up here on the Hill with Utah, a three quarterback race, including the freshman Huntley out of Florida. This is a critical position group for the Utes. They've been lacking in the passing game the last several years, and so it's important that they find the right guy. As you look across these three quarterbacks, including Brandon Cox, who's been there for a while, is there a guy that stands out to you?
That's a really good question. And looking at all three of them, you have two juniors, so they've got a little bit more time under their belt, and they've seen, you know, a lot of things that the freshmen that Huntley haven't seen yet. And the speed of the game, I think, is so critical that Cox and Williams have experienced. I like Brandon Cox for a lot of reasons. He's been there. He's waited patiently for his time. He's a really good athlete. He's big and he's strong. He has a strong arm. All these guys are dual threats, you know, meaning that they can run and throw. Because of Cox's experience, I like him right now as you know, kind of the front runner. But what I'm hearing a lot from the coaching staff at the U and then others involved in the program is that they're going to give Huntley and Williams every opportunity to compete with this. I know that's been out there in the paper as well, but you know, Williams, his pedigree is pretty amazing. I mean, the kid was a number one recruit, you know, when he was coming out of senior year in high school. I think he was ranked number two by ESPN and number one by scouts.com. And he's done some amazing things. Huntley obviously was kind of a freak coming out of high school. Huntley, in my opinion, is not ready yet, and you can't just do that through spring camp. And you can't do that in a fall type of situation because spring is the time to give the young guys a shot. He did okay there and showed some things, but fall now is when they're going to, you know, strap it up and the big boys are going to get out there. And they don't have time to bring him along, in my opinion. So I think he's going to get left by the wayside a little bit if he's not, you know, on top of everything right now. He's the one that, in my opinion, is not quite ready. The coaching staff may, you know, disagree with me on that. But I think Williams and Cox could both take it over right now. I think Huntley needs a little bit more time in the saddle. If they throw him in there early, I think they're doing him a disservice, and I think it could be a problem for the Utes and just the offense in general.
This year, if Utah wants to win the Pac-12 South, if they want to go to the Pac-12 championship game and win that, if they want to go to the Rose Bowl, which quarterback has the highest upside that could potentially bring them there with this year's team?
That's a great question. Highest upside, I'd have to say, just on paper, and again, I've seen these guys, you know, in limited situations thus far. On paper, it's just Troy Williams, in my opinion. Just because of, you know, what he's done. And when he was in the JC, you know, at Santa Monica there, he did some amazing things. I mean, he had 31 touchdown passes to 4 interceptions. And if you're playing against girls, you know, at the middle school, that's impressive. So, you know, he's got all the credentials. He's 6'2", 200 pounds. I mean, he can hold his own. He's got good speed. The thing that I think they have to do, if Utah wants to do exactly what you said, They have to establish the run game, which I think they can do. They have a good stable of backs, and they've got to implement the play action more. In my opinion, the play calling last year left a little bit to be desired. You had the best running back, arguably, in the country. And every time you put your hand out there with the ball in it, you know, three linebackers are converging on that for the fake. Whether he gets it or not, they had to respect it. We've got to establish the run if you're a Ute, and then you've got to be able to throw out of that, and they've got to stretch the field. If they're doing intermediate routes the whole time, they're going to be in trouble. I don't care who the quarterback is. And the problem I have with a run-first quarterback, which all these guys have a tendency to do, even though they have really good arms, is you're in the Pac-12, and everybody you're playing against on the other side of the ball is a freak athlete. And there's a lot of speed and strength over there and good size. If you're running a lot, you know, Taysom Hill's not able to do it at BYU successfully, and he's playing usually against lesser talent, and he's bigger and stronger than any of the three quarterbacks Utah has. I'm not sure how long any of these guys last if they can't establish the run and stretch the field a little bit. But I would say Troy Williams is the best equipped to do that at this point.
Well, heading down south, since you mentioned that, there's an interesting battle going on down there. Do you have any insight about the progress, who you think will come out on top, and if, as I suspect, Taysom Hill is the guy, is he the right guy?
Yeah, that's a good question, Frank. I do have some contacts there, and I do have some fairly good intel. Everything that I'm learning and hearing is, you know, Mangum had a great year, especially coming back from his mission last year. He did a lot of things. In my opinion, he got bailed out a lot by 6'5" and 6'6" receivers because he likes to throw the ball up. He's not afraid of anything, which is a good thing. But, you know, if those guys aren't going up and getting that ball, I mean, you know, they won a couple of games on Hail Marys that we all witnessed. It's a whole different story. He is better right now than he was last year, obviously. But Taysom Hill is, and I'm hearing this from the coaching staff and even from, you know, those who are involved with the quarterbacks, is a freak. His arm is the best by far. It's not even close as far as strength and accuracy. And I know that was his knock before he got hurt. You saw little flashes of that last year before he did go out against Nebraska. I was at that game, and his accuracy was much better. If that kid can stay healthy, if Taysom Hill can stay healthy, I don't see how you can keep him off the field. And I don't care what Tanner Mangum does. If Hill's healthy, that's, in my opinion, that's a kid you have to play. I know they have to say the right things in the media, et cetera. I don't. So, you know, I'll just give you my opinion on it. Taysom Hill is the starter. If he's healthy, Mangum will be used in very limited roles. And I think Ty Detmer is probably smart enough to play the best player regardless and to implement what he wants. And if Hill gets hurt, then you have probably the best backup in the country and better prepared than anybody to step in that position. But Taysom Hill, if he's healthy, is amazing. I mean, I'd pay money to watch that kid play every week. That's how good I think he is.
BYU has a really, really hairy schedule this year. It's going to be tough. They're going to have to be fighting for a bowl game. But if Taysom and or Tanner Mangum stay healthy throughout the rest of the year, what is the ceiling that they can take BYU to with all the tough schedule they have to play?
That's a really good question. That schedule is brutal. As you look at it, you know, coming out of the gates, I mean, they start off on the road in Arizona, then they're at Utah, then they have UCLA at home, then they go to West Virginia. They get a little break with Toledo. I would say right now, even if those guys are healthy and with the new coaching staff, it's going to take a little while to implement those schemes. They'll have him coached up and they'll have him ready. But remember, these are not necessarily their guys, their recruits that they brought in. BYU has some talent there, but they're lacking in some vital positions, especially if Detmer's calling that offense. They do not have a proven tight end, and that will be a major problem for them. And it will be something that will be glaring unless somebody can step up, you know, that hasn't done that before and fill that void. I think the ceiling for BYU this year, if they can come out and go 2-1 in those first three games, I think it'll be shocking to everybody and put them on the map and give them some confidence. Their ceiling, in my opinion, is 8 wins, and that would be an amazing season. I could see them easily, mulling around at 500 as well, just because I think it's going to take time for them to catch on to what this new coaching staff is going to have them want to do. And that's a brutal schedule.
So I'm looking across the schedule here, Jim, and not to take you off topic here, but I also look across, and I may be just doing this because I'm a Utah guy, but Utah's schedule, I look at Utah's schedule. I don't think Utah's schedule, especially because of the Pac-12, is any less brutal as people think BYU's schedule. And as I look across BYU's schedule, I know Arizona and then the rivalry, UCLA, West Virginia, then Toledo, Michigan State, certainly Mississippi State. I don't know where Boise State's going to be. Cincinnati, Southern Utah, UMass, Utah State, those last four especially are very winnable games. I don't know. I'd see that's a difficult schedule. Would you say that Utah's schedule is similar in terms of difficulty?
Yeah, here's the difference in my opinion, Frank, is that BYU has no conference affiliation, and therefore, if they lose those games early, I don't think they're that concerned about the ones at the end of the year. Does that make sense? So I'm not sure they bring their A game, and maybe they lose some of their, fight in there, and there's not much to play for, right? I mean, because they're not going to play for national championship unless they go undefeated, and that would be a stretch anyway. There's no conference championship, and they start off with four brutal games, and if they dump three of those, who really cares what happens in games, 7, 8, 9, and 10? The schedule for the youths, I think, is very difficult. The reason BYU's schedule is getting a lot of pub is because they're an independent, and now they've got, they've got an SEC team coming in. They've got a couple of Pac-12s, and they're kind of, interspersing a couple of these Power 5 conferences into their schedule, so it's kind of shocking to see that for them. Utah's schedule, lays out, in my opinion, every bit as difficult because every week you know what you've got coming in. They're quality opponents, but I like the way it sets up. You got Southern Utah coming in where you can kind of see what you've got in that game. I mean, Southern Utah's, been improved and they've had some good players and everything, but they're not going to be able to even stay on the field with the Utes. So you get a little bit of a warm-up there. BYU, in my opinion, is kind of the trap game because it's at home for the Utes. You don't know what you're really going to get out of Satake and Detmer and the coaching staff there and who's going to be the quarterback. Who do we prepare for, going into that? Is it Hill? Is he healthy? Is it Mangum? That's kind of a trap game. San Jose, they get a little bit of a break. Not that they're a doormat, but they should win that game. And then they're right in the meat of it. I mean, USC is going to be tough. Cal will be tough. Arizona, Oregon State. I don't know what Gary's going to be able to do there. UCLA. I think Washington's going to be a difficult game. Utah's schedule is very difficult. But they get a little bit of a weaning period into it at the start of the season, which I think will help them a lot. And they're still playing for a conference championship. They're still jazzed every week. They're still motivated. Whereas BYU, they dump a few of those early, and that whole thing could go off the rails.
For sure.
And that I think, is a difference in my opinion.
Well, Jim, we've run out of time. We certainly appreciate you jumping on the line with us. Hopefully we can get you back on the phone and do a mid-season report once we really get to figure out who's going to be playing for each of these teams and get your insights once that happens.
No, I would love to, and it is an aquarium at Shields, Frank. And John, you may just want to go with that.
A really big fish tank.
There you go, brother.
That's an aquarium.
Hey, I would be happy to do that anytime. Thanks for having me on, and you guys have a great day.